Welcome to this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live, the show which ensures that you profit from your time spent here with experts, either through the industry insights, information, or simply learning from them. And today we have Amparo Vasquez. He's the founder of Azteca, where he assists women challenge centralized conditioning, keeping them from small, silent, and second-guessing themselves. Welcome to the show, Amparo.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
You are welcome to the show, Amparo. You are welcome to India in this online form. And I'm sure not just in India, but a lot of people will benefit from what we are going to talk right now. We'll be talking about how one can reclaim worthiness and find joy in their lives after a great deal of hardship in their life. So first, to understand your own journey, you know, help us understand about your own journey, Amparo. You have been through your own hardships in life, so that will be, you know, a lot of message for the people who actually need them.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for having me here. It's an honor. It's a pleasure. I'm a survivor of abuse. I'm a survivor of a lot that I've experienced in this life of mine. And I experienced abuse in two different periods. I grew up with it in my home and my community, and then I recreated it as an adult. It was very severe. It was covert, and I escaped a few years ago. I emerged with signs of brain damage. I didn't have an identity anymore. I couldn't make basic decisions around my life. I was very dysregulated. I didn't know who I was anymore, and I felt so, I felt very animalistic, no longer a human being anymore. And so I had to completely rebuild my sense of self from the ground up. I had to remind myself that I was a human being. I had to remind myself that I had an identity outside of the identity that I had been sort of given and taken on during the experience of abuse. So I had to rebuild my experience of being able to feel joy in my body and anger and all sorts of other emotions. So it was a very rough experience, to say the least. But I was very committed to my own healing process, and I got back a lot. And along the way, also learned how to turn that into help for other people as well.
Right, Amparo. So I want to understand for the audience, you know, that what helped you, you know, during those difficult times, difficult days? What were the strategies or things that you actually applied to come out of that situation, to be, you know, talking about it? Now you are the founder of Azteca, so you are helping a lot of people on the on this front. But I want to understand a bit when it was not so such a great life for you then.
That's a great question. I'm very stubborn, and that's a double-edged sword. So the positive side of stubbornness is that when I've set my mind on something that's good for me, I will keep going even if there are tons of obstacles in the way. So that's the positive side of stubbornness. So even though I was in a really, really, really bad state, I every day kept recommitting back to, I'm going to do the next thing that I know that I have to do, the next tiny thing that I know that I have to do, the next tiny thing. And that's how it was. It was the next small thing that I figured out that I needed to do, because there was no roadmap. I was dealing with such severe PTSD and CPTSD that even professionals often would tell me that they couldn't help me, because it was just so beyond the scope of what a lot of these people knew how to handle. So it was stubbornness. It was using all of my tools that I remembered that I had access to, including tools that I had given up on during the experience of abuse, because it was very difficult to just survive during the experience of constant manipulation and gaslighting and everything else. So over time, those tools started to stack on top of each other. And eventually I got back other things like being able to meditate and being able to have stillness. But to your point, that took some time. That took time. I wasn't there at the very beginning. I was in a very brutal state at the very beginning. So I was just, I stubbornly kept going and doing the next thing and the next thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now, from that journey of yours, from that understanding, what would you like, you know, to tell people who are in their, you know, difficult time of their life? How should they look at it? They may not be as stubborn, they may be as stubborn or less stubborn. So how should they utilize whatever they have got to come out of the situation and make a, you know, a life which is, you know, worthiness? We talk about worthiness, we talk about Christ. So I want to understand for them from you.
So one of the things that helped me so much was the perspective that if I was strong enough to survive the very difficult periods of my life, that I was strong enough to heal from it. And it was beliefs like that that I held on to and very much kept them close to my chest. And they armed me. They armed me with the resources, the internal resources that I needed to handle every very rough period, very, very rough step along the way. And that's one of the many things that I like to impart on people, because when you're going through such a hard time, first of all, when you're going through a hard time, you feel very beaten down. You have very often like a low sense of self. That's not who you are. Who you are when you're experiencing extreme hardship and extreme poverty and abuse and oppression, all sorts of other things, that's you in survival mode. That's you surviving. So the you that you actually are is so much broader than the very limited you that you are when you're surviving. And that broader you includes a survivor. It includes an alchemist. It includes someone who is able to transform moment by moment in the way that they need to survive. And that same skill set is transferable. That same skill set is going to help you to recreate your life. It's going to help you to heal. It's going to help you rebuild. And if you can use that skill set to remind yourself of who you actually are, who you are outside of extreme situations, which is someone that is so innately worthy. It's someone that has access to all of their emotions. It's someone that is so innately lovable and powerful and just such an incredible human being. That's who all of us are. That's what our real identity is.
Right, Amparo. So in terms of worthiness, you know, nowadays a big challenge is that a lot of times we start feeling or getting our identity from what we do, where we work with, who we work with.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, that connection may be lost. So we find ourselves lost. So how should I look at my worthiness? What is the meaning of worthiness for me? Is it transitory? How do I create something for myself, which is my own self, that is my identity? Not a job, not a position, not anything else. Help us understand about this term called worthiness. And why do we lose it? How do we then gain it? Why do we lose it at all?
Excellent questions. So one of the experiences that I had coming out of abuse was a lens that allowed me to see things that we experience that's very normal in society from a very different vantage point. So in abuse, your identity is dependent on what serves your abuser. So your feeling of worthiness is entirely dependent on, did I make my abuser look like a good person, for example, right? We experience a version of that in society. Did I make my boss look good? Do I make my company look good? That dehumanizes us. That turns us into a thing, right? And so if we can first take a look at that and challenge that idea that my identity should be dependent on the utility that I provide to another person or the utility that I provide to another thing, if we can realize that that's dehumanizing, that's innately dehumanizing, then we can start to challenge it. And then we can start to say, okay, if that's dehumanizing, which I don't want because I'm a human being, I'm not a thing, right? And it's a very conditional, limited perspective definition, then what can it be other than that? Right? And then you start to explore what is an unconditional definition of worthiness that resides in you as a human being of, I'm not worthy because I produce something or because I did this thing that society says that I must do in order to be considered a worthwhile human being. I'm a worthwhile human being because I'm a worthwhile human being. I get to decide that. I get to decide that. I get to say that. I get to love myself because I love myself, because I'm lovable. Not because I'm waiting for someone else to tell me that I'm lovable. No, I'm lovable because I'm lovable. And that's it. And when you remove those restrictions, first of all, it's going to be really hard because we're trained by all sorts of different forces in society. Our educational system, our legal system, our work system. There's so many different systems that try to condition us to have a conditional sense of self. a conditional sense of self-love, a conditional sense of worthiness, and it's so harmful. And we don't even realize how harmful it is because we don't play out the domino effect in an individual person's life, let alone in society, right? But if we pause, which a lot of us don't do because we're so wrapped in our heads of the next thing that we have to do and the next thing we have to do to feel worthy of being alive, if we pause and if we examine in ourselves, what has been the impact of placing the weight of my being worthy of love, of care, of safety on an external thing that I don't have control over, where their definition of if I'm a good person, if I have done a good job, that definition changes all the time. How does that impact me? It means that I'm always chasing after something I can never catch. So I'm never satisfied with myself. I'm never satisfied with my life. And we don't realize how harmful that is to live our whole lives never satisfied with ourselves. It does not mean that you cannot want more. Wanting more is a beautiful thing. That is innately human. You can't be a human being and not want more. But to want more all the time because you never feel good enough in the moment is harmful. It's a form of emotional violence. That's the term that I use for stuff like that. So you acknowledge it for the fact that it is, even though it's normalized in society, it's very harmful. And it merits challenging, then you can separate yourself from that and you start to walk your way over to, if I'm not that, then what am I? And as part of this, you start to ask yourself questions like, when do I actually feel alive? When do I feel alive? When do I feel so happy because I'm doing the thing or I'm reading the thing or I'm existing or I'm having... At what points in my life do I feel alive? And then that's when you start to sculpt out who you are outside of the limited identities that you're allowed to have as a person that's expected to produce and be util, be a utility all the time for other things and other people, you know, that you take it back, you make it unconditional so that it's focused on you. And then you start to remember, if you have a hard time saying, I have no idea what makes me happy, I have no idea why I would be even considered worthy, then you get to ask yourself, earlier in my life, when I felt safe, when I didn't have the weight of the world on my shoulders, when I hadn't gone through all of this severe hardship, were there moments of time when I felt alive, when I felt at peace, when I felt safe, when I didn't feel like I needed to prove why I'm worthy of being alive, why I'm worthy of being a human being, why I'm worthy of wanting what I want, why I'm worthy of having what I want. When I knew that they were okay, that it was okay to exist, that it was okay to be, that it was okay to be me, there were moments. What were those moments? And then you start to explore, and then you start to remember.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well expressed, well explained, Amparo. So let me understand it from, you know, from the gender perspective. Is this worthiness, this debate about worthiness, is it, these challenges more for women or is it more for men? How do you see it? How is this whole fight going on? Because with so many, you know, talk about women empowerment, and men are also struggling in their own ways because of job losses and so many other things in society. How do you see this? How should we look at it? Should we look at it from a gender perspective or should it we look at it from a humanity perspective?
That's a wonderful question. I really appreciate your questions, by the way. Men and women experience it as well. I focus on women because that's who I'm most equipped to be able to support. That's what I've decided. But no, everyone, regardless of gender, deals with this because we're all members of the society that sort of restricts our ability to be able to love ourselves unconditionally, that restricts our ability to feel worthy of being human beings just because we're human beings. So no, it's everyone. And I'm a strong advocate for every community receiving the support that they need from the people who are equipped to be able to support them.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now let's come to your Astaka thing. You are the founder of Astaka. Tell us a bit about that so that people understand what exactly it is all about, and tell us, you want to, you know, heal the world, you want to help heal the world. I want to understand. That's a great deal of, you know, compassion coming from a difficult position to now trying to do as much as, especially, you know, women and the world itself.
Yeah, absolutely. So Azteca is a multifaceted, not even a program. It's a business that allows me to have multiple arms of this business to support women in reclaiming their feeling of worthiness and joy after hardship. So it includes a group program. It includes meditations. It includes workbooks. And within my group program itself, I have meditations. I have group coaching. I have community support. So I have a very, what one could call holistic, very multi-pronged approach to be able to help people bring themselves back into their body, bring themselves back into the present moment in a way that helps them to feel safe and safe enough to explore those very questions of, how did I get here? Who am I? What have I gone through so I can validate myself? And how do I get back, or get to begin with, if there is no back, how do I get a feeling of worthiness and a feeling of joy, a feeling of again, just feeling alive in this experience of being a human being? So I have a lot of, I love my business. I love what it allows me to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you you talk about one special, about the domino effect, that one person feels worthy and that impact will, you know, it's contagious. It will go to a lot of people. And this is a good sort of a thing. So help us understand, why do you think so? I thought a lot of people, you know, when they get a lot of things, they just become much more self-centered. Is it? Why is it not in this case?
That's a really good question. And this actually ties to the second part of your previous question that I didn't answer. So there's a big difference between genuine, healthy, grounded worthiness and something that's ego-based, right? So the something that's unhealthily ego-based, it will isolate one. It'll sort of create a tiered approach, right? But if it's a grounded, healthy, genuinely authentic worthiness, right, that I'm speaking about, that doesn't isolate, that radiates. So when someone comes into the experience of falling in love with themselves, not because of what they've done, not because of the money that they have, not because of the cars, but falling in love with their spirits, falling in love with the hearts, falling in love with who they are, looking at themselves in the mirror and seeing someone that they like, that type of person loves. That type of person heals. That type of person unites, right? And if that single person is able to start the process of walking towards that intentionally, then other people start to notice. And so many wonderful things happen, including that all of us have what are called mirror neurons inside of our brains, right? There are cells in our brains that their sole purpose is to mirror back, so experience in ourselves what we're seeing outside of ourselves. So when you see someone who's very happy, it can make you feel happy. If you see someone that's very upset, it can make you feel very upset, right? So if I'm looking at someone who is just loving themselves for no reason, that makes me feel really good. And that carries outwards. And then taking it more and more and more further, that person will then feel free to step into some role in the world that comes natural to them. And that role can just be, I care about my family and that's my role, but I'm going to really enjoy the experience of loving my family, right? Which again has such a huge domino effect in and of itself. Or it can go beyond that of, I have wanted my whole life to give speeches to people that will help them to navigate their way out of poverty. And now I feel worthy enough for no reason, just I'm worthy of being able to do that. Now this person gets to step into their purpose, radiate out that innate grounded feeling of self-love and worthiness, and then impact tons of people, either because of the words that they're saying or the actions that they're taking or the things that they're building, or because of the energy that they're exuding. Because there is no needing to prove anything. It's just, I'm happy. just because. And I don't need anything for that to be the case.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very well put. There is so much to learn from you. There is so much to understand from you. And I'm sure a lot of people would like to do that, be a part of your company in whatever you do. So what is the best way for them to connect with you, Amparo?
Yeah, good question. So they can go to my website, www.asteca.com, and that's spelled, oh, you see it on my screen, ASTEKAH.com. And there they can sign up for my newsletter. I have an Instagram account. I have tons of really wonderful things. I have meditations. Like I said, I have workbooks. So I try to provide a lot of options to be able to support people at various in all sorts of different ways, so that I can help as many people as I can as I continue to build this out. And everyone can feel free to write to me too. If you want to write to me, you can write to me at amparo@asteca.com, and I'm happy to write back as well.
Wonderful. With this, it's a wrap on this very special edition of the KAJ Masterclass Live. Thank you so much indeed for joining us.